Thank you, Heavenly Father. God, Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, we come to receive. Hallelujah. We've come to take what you've given us, God. We've come to, God, Lord, to take and know that your presence is real. God, Lord, I pray right now, God, forgive us. Let us not forsake. Hallelujah. The gathering, hallelujah, the understanding of your presence is so powerful in the oneness that's in the house with one another. God, Lord, the love that we have, the love that we have. Lord, I pray and declare it over each one of us, God. A greater love, hallelujah, that the world doesn't have, God. I pray to God, Lord, that it reaches out within us, God. Lord, I thank you for that. Give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, tell someone you love them. Come on, tell someone you're free. You're free. You're free indeed. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God Almighty, I'm free. Hallelujah. I'm free. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Children may go to their class. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, this is a series. I don't know where it's going to go, but I just felt the Lord tell me this. We'll explain it along the way, but everybody get this, because it's called Dare to be Legendary. You're looking funny at me. Tell someone, dare to be legendary. Dare to be legendary. Come on, that word legendary, that means unforgettable, heroic, esteemed, and glorious. I want you to know that sometimes people get so battered and so beat up that they miss out on the opportunity to be legendary. And I'm not talking about something for myself or what people think about me. No, no. It's what God created. Come on, amen. We got to get that out of our mind. It's not about me having this egotistical thing. No, no, no. It's me focusing on what God can do. Hallelujah. In this. Hallelujah. This lump. Hallelujah. This 270 pound. This is God's. And out of my life, hallelujah, He'll get the glory. And I want Him to get the honor. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the house there is gold and silver, and there is wood, and there's all types of things, hallelujah, in the house of God. And every one of us will be used by God for His glory. Whether you're an enemy or not, you will be used for the glory of God. Because I've watched God use my enemies, hallelujah. God used my enemies, hallelujah, to bring Him glory. Step in the midst. So that's what I mean about being legendary. To realize that you are set here with purpose and destiny. That you are called for greater things. You are called with a purpose to be transformed into the likeness and the image of Jesus Christ. Called, what a calling. To be legendary. That when they look at me, they see Jesus. They see Christ. And all that He is. That when they know me, that I preach Christ and Christ alone. Hallelujah. Not of myself. And that you remind yourself, He was legendary. I want you to know every one of you are legendary. God created you to be legendary, glorious, esteemed, above. You're not the tail. You're the head. He's created you this way, with His image and likeness. But I want you to know there's a lot of things that we believe, but we don't say. There's a lot of things that we hold in our hearts that are deep within us that we believe. You believe what I'm saying, but you have a hard time saying it. It doesn't always come out. Because before it comes out, Brother Dan, the enemy will tell you, you've got nothing to say. Who are you to say anything? Who are you to preach? Who are you to speak? You're not good enough. You're not worthy. I want you to know we got to stop. Dare to be legendary. We got to dare to be legendary. We got to dare to live up to what we've been created to be. In all of His glory. In His image. In His likeness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise you. Thank you, praise team. So we're going to take hold of this. And this says, and Jesus said this, "Verily I say unto you that no prophet is accepted in his own country." In his own country, that's a hard time. And I want you to know that I just really been seeking this, and really this has been in my heart about how that we are called to preach. Look to your neighbor, say, "You're a preacher." Look to your other neighbor, tell them you're a preacher. No, don't shake your head. Prophesy. I want you to know that you might not ever be a preacher right here, preaching the way that I hop behind a pulpit, but I'm here to tell you, God's presented you a pulpit to preach from. See, I want you to see that all that I do when I stand behind this thing is I brag about the one who is greatest of all. This is my opportunity. This is my moment. The Bible says to preach the good news. Come on, amen. To preach the good and the acceptable news. Hallelujah. The mercies of God, the greatness of who He is. To preach Christ. So I want you to know that in our own right, somewhere along the way, that every one of us has a pulpit, and we got to recognize that. I want you to know there's preachers all over this town. Come on, amen. There's preachers everywhere. Listen, you can't go every side of town on the Sheep Hill, on the north side in Shenango, wherever you got. We got an extension. Come on, amen. We got preachers everywhere up in Union. Come on, amen. There's preachers everywhere going into every different places, diverse places. But we got to believe that we're legendary. We got to dare to believe who we are. But I want you to know there's a lot of things that we believe. There's a lot of things but we got to begin to speak it. I want to help you with that tonight. Amen? Amen. Isaiah 61. I got a couple scriptures here. Isaiah 61 says, it says the Spirit. I want you to say it with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Sorry. The Spirit of the Lord, God, is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings. He's anointed me to preach good tidings. He's anointed me to preach good news. But you see, I want you to understand that's the thing that we got to recognize. The enemy wants to disrupt the good news. He wants to disrupt the message. Come on, amen. He wants you to focus on something else. He wants you to preach something else. He wants you to declare something else. There's some things. What happens is we begin to let our thoughts speak for us instead of us speaking over our thoughts. Listen. He says that He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Listen, I want you to focus on you for a moment. See, I want you to hear this. And I want you to understand something. Until I'm able to preach it to me, I'll preach it at you, not to you. I want you to hear us to hear this. See, until I'm able to preach it to me, until I'm able to declare it over my life, I'll hesitate preaching it over somebody else's. Or preaching it with somebody or to somebody. Tell them about that good news. I believe it. There's a lot of people that believe it. They believe that He can do that. But I want you to know that we need to confess it. We need to declare it. We need to speak it over this house. Over this place. He says, I want you to go to Judea, Samaria. And I want you to see this. He says, I want you to preach the good news. I want you to preach it there. I want you to go to Judea. Where did they live? They lived in Judea. They lived in Samaria. He says, I want you to go home. He says, I want you to preach it right here. I want you to preach it to yourself. I want you to understand what that means. That means that when you get up in the morning, sometimes I want you to know that if I feel like if I declare what I feel, I'd be in bad shape sometimes. When I get up in the morning and I preach how I feel. Come on, amen. Listen, if I preach how I feel, but it's not about how I feel. I want you to know if I begin to preach how He says I am and recognize that I'm legendary because of Him. I want everybody to get that. I'm not talking about ego. I'm talking about legendary of what God can do. Come on, amen. Of who He is. Legendary in a way that David stood back and knew that, man, he had nothing. He was a 13-year-old boy. He had a rock in his hand, but he had God behind him. Come on, amen. That he preached a sermon right there that was greater than any sermon anybody heard when he took down that giant. It was legendary. But it was because of God. It's because of what He did. But He recognized the opportunity to call down and cast down things that were in front of them. There's some giants facing you, and you got to recognize that you're called of God, that the Spirit of God is upon you. He told Goliath, He said, the Spirit of God is upon me. You're in trouble. Come on, you're in trouble because the Spirit of God is upon me. He's anointed me. He set me here. He has called me to be here. Hallelujah. Amen. He called me to declare over this house, over this life. I want you to know that when we begin to declare it over this house, and then guess what? God will send us out into the uttermost parts of the world. Come on, amen. He'll send us to the uttermost parts of the world. That's glorious, amen. Listen to this, Mark. I hope I can declare this to you. I hope you can receive this. Am I making sense? Mark 16 says this. He says, and they went forth and they preached. Say they preached. Everywhere. Where did they preach? I said, where'd they preach? They preached everywhere. Come on, amen. In every situation. There's some places where that I don't want to preach. Come on, I'm just being real. Because there's some places where I talk myself out of it. How many of you have ever talked yourself out of it? Well, I don't know. I don't want to be foolish. I don't want to look like an idiot. I don't want to this or that. I don't know if I'm good or I don't know if I'm qualified. I don't know if my life's good enough. I don't know if I'm righteous enough. I don't know if I am. And you begin to disqualify. You begin to prophesy over the wrong way over your lives. Because if you could prophesy the good news, you could prophesy the bad news. And He says, I want you to preach it everywhere, everywhere. I want you to preach it. Can you look up 2 Timothy 4? And it says, and where the Lord working, and everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Check this out. Did I give it to you? 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 5. You got it. That you're good. I charge you therefore, brother, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of His kingdom. Next verse. Preach the word. And listen, I've said this 100 times, but I want you to get this, because if brighten this scripture up a lot, because I think we need to get a hold of it. And this is what I mean, but there's sometimes we don't want to preach everywhere. When things are going really wrong and I'm in a situation, when you're in a place where that sometimes things are tough and you don't see it going your way, you don't see the tide turning, you don't always see the walls falling, there's sometimes some places you don't feel like it. Come on, being real. Listen, there's sometimes where I got to talk myself into being here tonight. Here's what I mean by that. Because sometimes things that are around us, come on, try to overpower us. But then I begin to talk myself into it. But there's somebody here tonight that's got something heavy on them. There's somebody here that has some chains that have tried to bind them. There's somebody here that don't feel like they're loved. There's somebody here tonight that has been rejected. There's somebody here tonight that has been hurt. There's somebody here tonight that needs released from bondages. And you talk yourself into it. Because you realize, that's not just about me. There's something more. And that I'm anointed to do this. Well, I don't really feel like singing tonight. I don't feel like playing. I want you to know that those are sometimes real things. But I want you to know we don't go by the feelings, we go by the anointing. Because there's been some times that I've stood right here not knowing which way I'm going to go, but when the anointing shows up. Come on, amen. It's legendary. It's legendary. And he says, And he says, preach the word. Be instant in season. Come on, say consistent. In the good times, in the bad times. Come on, preach the word in the good times, in the bad times. When you don't feel like it and when you feel like it. Come on, amen. When you wake up in the morning and you don't feel like it, you need to speak over your life and say, I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. Come on, amen. It's easy after church. But I begin to speak, I'm going to be a blessing today. You need to get yourself in the mirror, look right in the mirror, and say, you are a blessing to somebody today. You're good news to somebody today. Because you got up today, you're going to be a blessing to somebody. And he says, out of season and in season. It's easy to do it in season. He says, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap up themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. And this is the story I want you to get. So I want you to know that there's something, there's a declaration there. He says, I want you to know that, listen, it's important for you to do it in season, outside, that you preach the good news, not just to somebody else. But I want you to know that we need to get it stable and settled in here. That when I can preach the good news in season, out of season to myself, that no matter what happens anywhere, I could preach the news to somebody who's right there going through something. Going through something, a problem, whatever it is. But he says, what happens is when we don't do that, our ears begin to turn. We begin to focus on our thoughts. We begin to focus on what we want to hear. Unfortunately, on side that we always like a boo-poo party. Boo-poo? I don't know. A pity party. There it is, a boo-poo. Come on, amen. How many ever been to a pity party? I've been to a pity party. I had all the favors, the hats, the whistles, everything. Come on, amen. And waiting for the Lord to put His hand to hand me a hanky and say, come on, no. He don't even show up to that party. Let the praises of God be on thy lips. Hallelujah. Let God arise and your enemies will scatter. But we enjoy a good pity party. But we ain't supposed to stay there. I want you to know that if we stay in that place and we hear that for long enough, that guess what? That we won't even know what the truth is. We'll become unaware of the truth of what it is. Because I want you to know that if you don't recognize that the truth is in you, that I want you to know that, listen, you will get truth when you hear the word, hear it spoken to you. But I want you to know the truth comes up out of you. Because you're anointed. That truth is in you. Come on, amen. That truth is within you that you declare and you speak. Hallelujah. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The truth is in me. The truth is in me. So whenever I'm facing these, I just talked to somebody the other day and talked that my dad had this amazing ability. He was legendary. Because no matter what he was going through, that he was able to access, and it took years to do this, because he recognized his purpose, that he was called to come into the likeness of Christ, to be transformed, to be renewed. He understood that it was a daily process, that he knew he was learning every day. But he said to me, because one time I was frustrated about something, I lost something. It was a set of keys. And it was all my keys, and I was cutting grass, and somehow it fell off. And my dad seen me looking, and he says, what's wrong? I said, I can't find my keys. And he asked me, he says, did you ask God? Did you ask your father? I said, Dad, it's keys. So I said, that's why you haven't found them. He says, you need to ask your father. You do. And so I began to speak, and we stood right in that field and prayed. I thought it was foolish. I said, what does he care about my keys? I'm the dummy that rode around with them, bounced out of my pocket. But as soon as we prayed, I got in that tractor and said, well, I'm just going to cut around for a while. 20 steps away, there was my keys sitting right there. I'm going to tell you something. I walked 15 times around those keys and I never seen them. But it was that little thing. I began to speak it in my life, began to declare it. That's legendary. Come on, amen. That's legendary. But we talk ourselves out of purpose. We talk ourselves out of it. But we got to talk ourselves into it. Let's look at Luke 9. Luke 9:57. I want you to catch this. And it says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said to him, Lord," he says, "I will follow you wherever you go. Wherever you go, I'm going to follow you." I believe that in his heart, he wanted to do that with everything within him. He really wanted to follow God. And he says, "And Jesus said to him," he says, "foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." I want you to see something, though. The first thing that he tells him, it seems like he's trying to skirt him away that, listen, this is too tough and this is hard. But I want you to know that, listen, he was speaking something. He was getting to recognize something. He was getting him to recognize something that was within him to take hold of or not to. And so he says this. He says, "Foxes have holes," he says, "but the Son of Man has nowhere." Listen, I'm homeless, but I have a home. I don't always know where I'm going. I don't know, but he says there's somewhere that I got. The Father takes care of me no matter where I go. But listen, there's sometimes that it's not as glamorous as you think it is. I want you to know being legendary isn't always as glamorous as you think it is. Jesus was legendary, and he was declaring. But I want you to know that it wasn't about his circumstance. It wasn't about that, because there was something greater in him than whatever the world can provide. Listen. And so he says, "And Jesus said, Fox have holes. And he said unto another," he says, "and he said unto the another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Does that sound legit? It sounds legit. But I want you to know that, listen, as he heard that first one, he thought to himself, he says, "Wait a minute, I'm going to count this cost, I'm going to see." And he began to question, he began to think in his mind, he says, "Well, maybe I'm not ready for this." I don't know how many times we ever done this, where that you're ready for ministry, but when it comes, here's this moment, here's this opportunity, and you face it. It's right before you. Jesus says, "Follow me." And he says, "Well, hang on." He says, "Let me go bury my father." He says, "And then I'll come." I want you to know that God spoke to his heart, because he knew his father wasn't dead. Because I want you to recognize something, that even at this moment, he says, if his father was sick, or if his father was about, he would have said, "Jesus, come, could you heal my father?" So he was waiting for something to happen. He found this excuse of why he couldn't do it. Because he began to think in his head, "Well, I can't do this. I don't know if I'm qualified. I don't want to come right out and admit it, but I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm able to follow Jesus, to go where he goes and does what he does. I don't know if I'm able to." But what sometimes we do is we excuse ourselves out of it, even when we know that we're qualified and we're legendary. But sometimes we'll excuse ourselves out of the situation. "I don't want to miss opportunity for that breakthrough." And then he says this, and he says, and he said to another, he says, "Follow me." He says, and Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach." I want you to know that this other stuff will take care of itself, but I'm asking you to preach the good news. I'm asking you to let the anointing that is upon you, come on, to be released. And the rest will take care of itself. Listen to this. And he says, and Jesus said, "Let the dead," he says, "and another one said, Lord, I will follow you. But let me first go bid farewell to my family. Let me go home." And Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit and worthy." Listen, I want you to see this. I want you to get it right in your head, first of all, because sometimes if we don't know the truth, it'll confuse us, because we'll think, I want you to know, he's all about family. Tell your neighbor, he's all about family. He's all about family. But I want you to recognize something. If I'm not willing to place him first, if I'm not ready to let my life preach Christ, I cannot be any good or to fulfill or to bring peace to my own house, to my own family, to my own wife, to my own church, to my own children, to my own workplace. Because he said, if you're willing to look back, if you look back, I want you to know that you get your eyes off something, you begin to pull the wrong way. You begin to get off the track. You begin to get off. But I want you to know that he spoke it. He spoke it. He thought it and he spoke it. He thought in his mind that I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know if I could do this. And he spoke it. Listen. And Jesus said, no man having put this, he says, for is fit for the kingdom of God. Is fit. We have to recognize the anointing that's upon us. What we have within us. We need to believe in one another. We need to speak to one another. We need to encourage that you're anointed for this. With the moment that I recognize, or my wife recognizes, this is something we created and made a habit. That every time there's a moment where that one of us, I see her weak, or she sees me weak, she steps to that plate and she begins to preach over me. She begins to speak into my life. Come on, amen. I want you to hear this. Because the enemy will try to usurp, he'll try to get in, he'll try to come into your house, he'll try to get in, he'll try to lead you away, he'll try to disrupt you, he'll try to make you think it's not worth it, it's not good enough. But you're anointed for this. We need to lift one another. Don't join the pity party. Listen, when I come in sometimes and I got a pity party because I had a hard day. I lost my truck and I can't find it. You would think so. No. But I want you to know that so many times we talk ourselves out of it. We need to talk ourselves into it. We need to talk ourselves into it. You need to speak over your lives. You need to declare. You need to speak into it. Because if we don't, if we hold back at that moment, we will talk ourselves out of it. We're good at talking ourselves out of it. I'm recognizing, I remember Moses where that, let's look there real quick. Exodus. It's in the beginning of Exodus. Exodus 2. Are you okay? All right. And here's Moses that, listen, I want you to know that God's already put something within his heart. He's already put something in his heart. He's placed it within him. There's purpose within him. He hears the heart of the people. He hears the heart of the Father, where he sees things around him. And he sees things that aren't right. And he's called to preach the good news. And it's within him. It says because Moses was drawn out. He was called out. I want you to say, I'm called. If you have a birthday, everybody has a birthday, you're called of God. You're called to be legendary. Listen. He says, and Moses was content. Wow. So here's Moses, he hears this, he leaves, he runs from this where he was with the Egyptians. You all know the whole story, but here he comes to this place and he gets here. And there's this conviction on him, but he runs as far as he can from Egypt. Don't we do that? Come on, amen. Just we run as far as we can from where we know we're responsible to be. And we get as far as we can. And you get to that place where you don't think you're anointed to do this. You don't think you're able to do this. You don't think you can do this. And he finds himself at a place where that maybe no one will know him. Nobody will recognize him. He's standing by this well. And all of a sudden, here comes this girl. And then these other shepherds were there. And they were taking advantage of what they had, their waters. And they were stealing stuff from him. He came in there in the midst. He stepped in the midst. Listen, he's still with the calling because he has a purpose in his life. Because he's anointed from this. Sometimes you recognize that anointing will come out of you. Hallelujah. Whether you like it or not. There's sometimes whenever you are such in a hard place, you feel like you have nothing to give. There's moments that I feel like I have nothing to give. But when you open your mouth, you feel the anointing come on you. How can I help this person when everything is falling apart in my life? Because it's not based upon what's around you, it's based upon what's in you. And you're anointed for this. And here he is. He's still doing this, even though he's trying to get away from it. Here he is. And he stepped up to that place and it says that she went back to her father. He says, oh, you know, this Egyptian, he came in and he saved us, helped us from us, and he gave us some water. He gave us the drink. He says, well, where's he at? Oh, we left him back here. I said, go get him. Bring him here. But then the next verse, it says that he was content. Tell someone content. Oh, sometimes that's dangerous. We like to be content as long as everything... Don't you like it when you're content? All your bills are paid. Everything's good. She's like, enjoy that. Say amen to me. Come on, amen. Content. So here he is. He says he becomes content to dwell with man. And he gave Moses, and he gave Moses to Pharaoh, his daughter, and she bore a son. But I want you to know that God will remind you, And he says that he gave him a name. His name is Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. There was something within him. I want you to know that there's something within us. And that's why sometimes people get frustrated. They feel like they have purpose. They get depressed. They get down because they don't recognize. They don't recognize they're called for more. Come on, amen. They don't recognize they're called to be legendary. They don't recognize there's more to this. Amen. That they're called to be transformed and renewed in the image and likeness of Christ. So here he is here, and he feels like he's a stranger. Sometimes we feel like that, but I want you to recall for something more. So listen. So here he is, and he goes, and he does this thing. He's groaning. But here it is the whole time that there's a groaning going on in the heavens that God is hearing. I want you to hear this and understand something. This is the way that God works. God works with His children. He's chosen to do it this way. To work through you. I want you to hear, listen, I want you to recognize this. God doesn't need us, but God chooses us. I want you to hear this. He could do it all himself, but he's chosen the likeness of a family, of his image to be in the earth. Sons and daughters. To carry out his image, his likeness, as it is in heaven on the earth. That's the Father's will. All through this Bible, God has used people to glorify His name that were willing to realize there's an anointing upon them to believe with faith. Gideon, Joshua, Caleb, Isaac, Abraham, Moses, Paul, all through that God chose to work through them to demonstrate who He was. Listen. You okay? Let me get through here. But here's what happened. As Moses began to argue with God because God called him. He seen him in a burning bush. There he was right before him. He was standing right there. And God was challenging him. He was telling him, he says, I want you to go and I want to speak. And the first thing he does, what's he do? He talks himself out of it. Well, I can't speak that well. I really can't. I don't have the appearance. I'm kind of chubby. I don't know if I've... Listen, maybe it's somebody else's because I've been there and I really ticked off Pharaoh. I've ticked off these people and I don't think I'm the one to do this. And he began to talk himself out. And I want you to know that God stepped over every one of us. I want you to know there's no excuse that we can use that's good enough. Because he's able. He's able. In an earthen vessel. Come on. He's chosen an earthen vessel. To reveal his glory through. So here he is. He's in this place and he's arguing with God. He says, I want you to know. He says, who do I say then? Who do I tell them? He says, tell them I am. Well, I'm not good enough. I'm not. No, no, no. Stop saying that and realize I am. I want you to know that God's causing him to realize that I am good enough. Come on. That he is good enough. He is in you. That I am good enough. I am everything in your midst of your weakness. When you are strong, you say, I am weak. So he's arguing with God. God wants us to recognize. To become legendary, you have to recognize that he's the I am. That he is the I am. I am whatever you need me to be. I am. For you to preach the good news, I am. I am anything. All that I've called you to be, you can do this because of I am, because of who I am. Amen? So I began to think, let's look at Romans 10 as I wrap this up here. And I just began to think about what am I preaching? What is my life preaching? And every one of us can ask that question. What am I preaching? What is my life saying? And I'm not just talking about, but I'm asking myself this, that what is my life preaching outside of this pulpit? What are they seeing? What expression? Because remember, my purpose is to be in an image and likeness, to walk in the image and likeness of who He is. Am I representing that? Am I portraying that? Come on, amen. Am I being legendary because I'm called to be legendary because He says, be holy because I'm holy. If I couldn't be holy, He wouldn't have said it. He'd be a liar. You're worthy. You're holy because I'm holy. Because I am. I am anointed and I am in you. Come on, say, there's nothing impossible. There's nothing impossible with my God. He says, I want you to see this. He says, but what saith it? The word is nigh. It's even in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's the word that we preach by faith. Not just, I'm talking to me. What am I preaching to me? When I wake up in the morning, what am I preaching to me? What am I declaring? What am I preaching over my family? What was my sermon today? Was I angry and ran out? Was I ticked off and didn't have patience, which we do that sometimes? But what am I preaching? And he says, in 10:14 it says this, he says, and how then shall they call on Him? He says, of whom they have not believed, and how shall... Let me just read through this, I'm sorry. This is verse, let me go from 8 through 9. It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, shalt believe in thy heart that He is raised from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is made, confession is made unto... I want you to know that I need to declare it. Listen, I want you to know that even Jesus... I want you to recognize where I'm coming from. Even Jesus told them, He says, I want you to come with Me. He gave them that advice. I want you to follow Me. I want you, here's what I want you to do. But I want you to know that they talked themselves out of it. You've got to talk yourself into it. And what I mean by that is, here you have John and James where they're standing on the side and Jesus comes up to them who they don't know and they don't... But all of a sudden, He walks before them. But faith stirred within them. Something happened within them. Something was stirred because God was already calling them. He was already equipping them to say yes. But if they talked themselves out of it, it was their choice. But I want you to know, as they stood there, they looked at one another and said, there's something He's saying. They talked themselves into following Jesus. They talked them with confession in their mouth. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to follow because He's the way. I'm looking for it. He's the truth. I'm going to go by faith and believe that what He's saying is real. And I'm going to follow after Him. They talk themselves into it. How many times in the Bible there's people that talk themselves out of from following Him to going after Him? Judas talked himself out of it. The only person that can talk yourself into it is you. You. Because God isn't forced to choose. Come on, let's go ahead up. Let's do this. That's my sign. Am I all right? For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. He says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed if you believe in Him. For there is a difference between the Jew and the Greek. Say there's no difference. Come on, amen. And the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon His name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And who shall they hear without a what? Without a preacher. How shall they hear without a preacher? We need to preach. We need to bring it at home. Don't worry if no one else is preaching to you. You preach. If no one else is listening, you listen. There's been times sometimes that I've come here with something in my heart, so heavy in my heart, and I've preached and I've watched people sleep. None of you. In those moments, sometimes it feels like, oh, what am I doing? But at those moments, I stop and recognize I'm preaching to me. If it ain't for anybody else, it's for me. Because I'm anointed to do that. If nobody else shows up, I still have a pulpit to preach. So I want you to know, the enemy can never take it. But I can. I could choose not to preach there. I could choose not to declare the good news. To speak it. To let it roll off my tongue. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate upon the word. He says, meditate upon. This is how you overcome. This is how you find that place. Peace. He says, meditate on the word day and night. And let it come off your lips. Not just your thinking, but your lips. Let it come out of your mouth. And I want you to hear this and understand that this is what it means sometimes. Is that sometimes I want you to know that we need to set up a chair in the midst of our surroundings whenever things are going wrong. And whether the enemy is trying to declare things over you, is put a seat down. He says, you're going to sit down and you're going to listen to me because I'm blessed. I want you to know that you're telling me that I'm no good, I'm not worthy. Come on, amen. That I'm this, I'm that. But you need to preach. Come on, you need to preach and declare even over your enemies. Begin to speak. Say, Heavenly Father God, you have no authority. Come on, amen. You have no power. I'm anointed for this. I am called to preach the good news. I wrote this down, that life will follow our conversation. Life will follow your conversation. If you preach peace, it'll come. Or God's a liar. If we speak it over our lives, over our family, it seems impossible, but God will find a way. Amen. And Karen had a 2 years ago, she lost her leg with diabetes. And I've been with her the whole time through this, like a lot of us have been with her through this whole thing, but I've watched legendary. I've watched her be legendary. I watched her walk through those moments of darkness, but keep holding on to God. Kept believing that this is for the purpose of God. That God didn't cause it, but because of this, He's going to get glory. Out of my life will flow living waters. Not a cesspool because of my anger, because I lost my leg and I'm by myself. I'm a widow and I don't have much money to live on. And all these excuses, as she laid in her bed, she lifted up her head and He says, give God the glory. I'm going to give God the glory. And in the midst of that, God moved and became a ministry out of that pain. The least unexpected ministry she ever thought she could have, that she would go through amputees and those ones in the midst. She wasn't even in the hospital, out of the hospital a month, and she was down the hallways. And I tell Karen, slow down, no, I can't. I got the good news. And she would go every, and now she's up, she's touching people's lives up at every time that she goes in there. She has a Bible study. And they bring these people in. They come in. The room's filled with people that she's ministering to. I want you to know the enemy wanted her to be down, but she recognized the anointing that was upon her life. She recognized the anointing. And she's being legendary. Be legendary. Live for the King. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for these men and women of God, to God, Lord, that you've placed here, God, Lord, that they have a heart, to God, Lord, they hear, God, Lord. I pray tonight, God, Lord, they've come tonight. I pray to God, Lord, that this message speaks. I pray to God, Lord, that what they hear, God, Lord, they begin to preach. They speak over their lives and circumstances and situations, God, and to watch the walls fall down and declare to God, Lord, that they're to be consistent in season and out of season. Because overflow is coming. Come on, amen. Because overflow is coming. Hallelujah. Overflow is coming. Hallelujah. Overflow is coming. Hallelujah. To your homes. Come on. To your lives. Hallelujah. To this church. To this city. Overflow is coming. Come on, amen. Let's declare it tonight. Let's say it. Overflow is coming. Come on, amen. Overflow is coming. Hallelujah. The abundance of God. Hallelujah. In our lives is coming. And we declare it by faith, God. We speak it, God. And we will declare with all of our hearts that we are. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Bless somebody. Give somebody a hug.